God bless you, saints. Will you stand with me? Turn with me to Psalms 3, if you don't mind. God bless each and every one of you for your efforts for coming to the house of the Lord. It's raining outside. We trust that it'll rain on the inside. Amen. Psalms 3, we'll start with verse 1 and read down to verse 8. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. We all can say amen to that. Let's bow our hearts and our heads this morning. Lord God Almighty, oh, lover of our souls, Lord. Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, that you are our God. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that in this age, Lord, you have called us by your name, Lord, that we may declare your name in the earth. Father, and as a wife takes the name of a husband, Lord, so we love to declare your name in the earth. Mrs. Jesus Christ, Lord, putting your life on display. Father, as we have come into the house of God, Lord, we ask that you feed us this morning, Lord. Give us more of you, Lord. We have come for a refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, may our cups just run over, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. That's why we've come. Lord, we love you, Lord. That's why we've come. We come to worship you, Father. Father, just inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, that you anoint us all together, Lord. Father, this service would be vain without you. We ask that you anoint Brother Gene in a special way. Help him to get himself out of the way, Lord. You know what we have need of. He doesn't. Lord, you are the inspiration, Lord, that moves him this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and we'll hear. Lord, we'll know how to walk more carefully, Lord, before you. Help us all, Lord, to be tenderhearted towards you, Lord. Be sensitive, Lord, to your spirit. We need you, Lord. We need you. We just ask that you have your way now. Lord, as we offer unto you our worship, Lord, and surrender ourselves to you, it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. Oh, I my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What could the Lord do if he had surrendered vessels this morning? Amen. My. He wants to work in the earth. Amen. He can't work without flesh to work through. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to give myself to him. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. Here I am to worship. Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, together wonder for to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Praise the Lord. Humbly you came to the earth, you created all for love's sake, became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Hallelujah. When the music fades and all is slipped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. No, no. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, your look to mine. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about. Come on, let's sing it again. Hallelujah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about him. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. It's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. And it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Sweet Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, sweet Jesus. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My, my, my. Hallelujah. There's none other that can take his place. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Amen. Take your seats, if you will. We have a few specials this morning. Brother Jeffrey, will you come this morning? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Jeffrey.
Everybody needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everybody needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know him as the Savior. Praise the Lord. If he saved me, he can save others. Praise the Lord. Sister Sam, will you come? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Jeffrey. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Your love has captured my heart and taken me over. Your love has captured my heart and taken me over. Your love has captured my heart and taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever. Your love has captured my heart and taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever. So take me a little closer, bring me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. So take me a little closer, pull me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Your love has captured my heart and taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. So take me a little closer, pull me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much stronger than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at the way you love me. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at your love. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at the way you love me. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at your love. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at the way you love me. Oh, 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 I'm amazed at your love. So take me a little closer, pull me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. So pull me a little deeper, take me a little closer. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to have that desire to want to know his heart. Amen. If you have that desire, I'm sure he will reveal it. I believe that. Amen. We have a prayer request this morning from Sister Emma. Please pray for my father. He is not feeling well today. Pray God would touch his body. Amen. I'm sure everyone else has an unspoken request. Show up by uplifted hand. Amen. Let's bow our hearts and heads before our God and King. Heavenly Father, Sister Emma here, Lord, is asking us to bring, Lord God, her father before your throne of mercy and grace. There he shall obtain mercy and grace before you, Lord. Father, you said if two or three agree as touching anything, Lord, you would do it. You said if we ask the Father anything in your name, you would do it. And Father, he needs a touch in his body this morning. No doubt, Lord, he's not feeling well. And Lord, if you don't move on the scene, Lord God, something may happen, Lord. But we're trusting, oh God, that you will answer our request this morning. And Father God, not only for Sister Emma's father, Lord, but we have people upon our hearts, Lord. Lord, there's different trials that we're going through, Lord. We're not asking that you take the trial away. We know that you've given us strength to overcome the trial. There's something you're working out in our lives, Lord. And Father, we ask for understanding. We ask for more revelation, Father God. We ask again, Lord God, that you be with Brother Jack and his family, Lord. Father, comfort their hearts. Comfort Brother Hochi's family, their hearts, Lord. Father, we just ask that you have your way with your people. Again, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to be with Brother Gene just now. Father, help him, Lord, and help your people as we surrender all these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a few announcements. Amen. Happy birthday to Sister Cobb on Friday. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I think it'd be 22, right? 22. Praise the Lord. I'll dance with you. Amen. 22. Amen. I know you're looking forward to that body change going back to 21. You don't have too far to go, Sister Carl. God bless you. Amen. Pinnacle Palm service tonight at 5:30. There'll be no service Wednesday or Friday night. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And God bless each and every one. We have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to ask the brothers to come at this time to take up the tithing and offering.
Lord, we come. come to give you thanks, Lord, for everything you have done for us, Lord. We can never forget how much you have done for us, Lord, in our lives. Lord, as we're here today, I just pray you reveal yourself, your word to us, Lord, so that you know what you want from us, Lord. Lord, we come to get something from you. We want more of you, Lord. We need something deep in our lives, Lord. We need you, God. Lord, I just pray that you bless the service and that you just bless everything that's happening today, Lord. Bless the minister, Lord. Reveal yourself your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One more special. Will you take your seat? Sister Michelle, will you come?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you all. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. For this is my story, this is my song, praising my praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rest. Yes, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior are happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, I'm filled with His goodness, lost in His love. For this is my story. Yes, this is my song. Yes, praising my Savior all the day long. For this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for blessed assurance. Amen. It's better than life insurance.
Amen.
Amen. Prophet God said it'll get you out of the grave. Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to change the order of the service and ask Brother Gene to come at this time. Let's sing this little song together. My chains are gone. Amen. I'm so glad for the liberty that we have. Amen. Still working this out.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone.
My God, my Savior has ransomed me. God bless you, saints. Is this grace amazing to you? Amen. As they continue to play that softly, let's just bow our hearts. Precious Lord Jesus, we're just so excited, Lord, that we could be here this morning. There's no other place that we'd rather be but in the house of God. Father, dear Lord, as I was studying, dear Lord, I was just moved by the songs that were sung, dear Lord, the encouragement that comes from that, an atmosphere that was created where your Holy Spirit could have free preeminence, dear Lord, to move about in the hearts of your people. Father, dear Lord, as we get ready to change the order of the service, dear Lord, I'm reminded of what your prophet said, that any man with any natural ability of his own could flip back the pages of the Bible. But it takes the Lamb of God to come down and break bread with us, dear Lord. Father, may you come and open our eyes and open our hearts and speak to us, dear God. Father, guard my lips from saying anything contrary to your word. Dear Lord, I thank you for the grace that you've shown unto us. Be with us now as we kind of look into your word. Father, we come under expectation. Take full control of the service. And the bride says, amen and amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. That's all the singing. Certainly good always to come by this way and have fellowship. You love the Lord this morning? Amen. It's raining outside, so I guess I get an extra 30 minutes to an hour. Amen. I won't keep you too long. Genesis chapter 1, two opening scriptures, so Genesis and Psalms. So we'll go to Genesis chapter 1, a familiar scripture, trusting that we could say a few words that could be of encouragement to you all. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Say amen once you're there. Or two or three. I'm waiting for others. Amen. All right, Psalms chapter 8, verse, it's a short chapter, so we'll read the whole thing. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. So for a moment or two, I'd like to minister on a thought on having dominion. Having dominion. And I thought it was fitting that I would start with these passages of scripture, which helps to remind us the position that God had put Adam. And in that position, it was an expectation that he was to have dominion over the earth. And when God was creating, man was the highest achievement of God's creation. And so much that the Bible says that he looked to the angels and he says, let us make man after our own image. And so he did so, and he created man under his own image. And with that, he told man that you are to have dominion over the fowls of the air, the beasts of the earth, the fish of the sea, the creeping things, etc., etc. And all that has its meaning and its relevance because, you see, what happened is that man lost that position. And it took a prophet to come back in this state to bring us back to that position again. And so what does the very word dominion really mean to you and I? It means to prevail against. It means to reign, bear, to make rule. So it's a position of authority, if you will, to prevail, to have the ability to overcome something. Are we staying together? And to reign, to very similar to a king who has dominion over a kingdom. His throne extends to as far as the boundaries will allow. And so therefore he reigns over that particular kingdom. And so that is to exercise your authority over something, over someone, over a region, if you will. And so that's what it means. And we saw that illustrated in Genesis 37 when Joseph had a series of dreams. And his brothers got jealous of him. And in the one passage of scripture, and his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? So they didn't like the very idea that the dreams that Joseph was having implies that, you know, Joseph would rule over them. And so they couldn't, the very idea, they just couldn't fathom that. And so that's what it means to have to exercise authority, to exercise power or ability over something. And bear with me as I kind of lay this foundation. So Adam was to have dominion over everything. And so when he spoke, that's what it was. There was no debate. There was no discussion. If Adam says mountain, be plucked up and moved over here, that was the word of Adam. And God sanctioned that word. God backed that word up. And so when Adam, you know, told the animals, you know, follow me, you know, they didn't grunt and they didn't growl. They just followed Adam. I mean, man was in a place where he had authority over all things. And so so what a remarkable position to have been in. And in that atmosphere, if you will, man didn't have any ounce of fear. He was not afraid of his position because God called him for that. He didn't know anything other than what God made him to be. And he never once doubted what he said. When he looked at the mountain, no matter how big it was, if Eve didn't like the mountain there, she said, honey, can you move it over there? Adam didn't even think twice. Said, mountain, my wife likes the mountain. You over there, move. He didn't care how big the task was. He just knew that he was a son of God. And when he spoke, God backed his word up. So Adam had dominion over these things, and he knew where he stood. And there's something to be said when you're in your right position. Because when Abraham was in his position and Lot was taken captive, he grabbed a hold of his man and he went and he defeated five kings. Not one bit of fear, not one concern. He was not even afraid. He knew that a brother was in desperation. So he gathered 300 and so men and he went into battle and reclaimed the life of his brother. But the moment that Abram stepped outside of his position, he was afraid of one king. One king. The moment he stepped outside of his position, he was afraid of one king. So it's something to be said to know where you're at in your position with Christ. So God says, Adam, you have dominion over everything, and everything obeyed Adam. It was no option. They had to obey his word. Because I could just see, if I could illustrate this image, when Adam spoke, God stood behind Adam. And every creature, every creation had to come subject to the very authority word of Adam. And so God begins to put perimeters, and I want you to understand the meaning behind these.
He says, I want you to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the creeping things. So naturally, we look at this when we look at nature. He says, you have control over these things. And I got to thinking a little bit, and there's a deeper point to this. So the fish of the sea, these are all types of spirits. Are we staying together? These are all types of spirits, not only in the natural realm. He's saying, I've given you dominion over the natural realm, but even the spiritual realm as well. And that's going to be important as we go further along. But not only just your natural circumstances that you can deal with, but your spiritual circumstances you can deal with as well. So he says you have dominion over the fish of the sea. Some spirits we can't see. They like to stay hidden, but they're around. Just because you don't see them don't mean that they don't exist. Are we staying together? So he says, I've given you dominion over those things that you can't even see that influences your life. He says, those spirits that are hidden in the closet, those spirits that are hiding away where no one else sees it, but God sees it and Satan sees it. He says, I've given you dominion over those spirits. He says, I've given you dominion over the fowl of the air. Those are spirits, you know, the prophet says that a bird, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can't stop it from building a nest. Because someone might say something and innocently not mean anything by it. Next thing you know, you start building up resentment against that person. And he says, I've given you authority. I've given you dominion over those spirits. Don't you let that rest in your head. What does she mean by that? What did he mean by that? He didn't mean nothing by that. Just press on. Don't let the devil play with your mind. The greatest battle that ever fought begins in your mind. Let the Spirit of God reign in your hearts and in your minds. That's how little things start where people, you know, somebody innocently say something or do something with it. Don't even mean nothing about it. And next thing you know, you spend the whole week thinking about that one little thing. Your life is topsy-turvy and you just can't wait to come back to church just so we can look at them and just see if they mean more about that. Come on, saints. My Christian walk is far greater than these little things that's going to stop me from worshiping God. And the Bible says, I've given you dominion over the cattle of the beasts of the field. Things that you could evidently see. Things that are so obvious. But you would think just because it's so obvious that it would deter people. But no, they still gravitate towards those things. And God says, I've given you dominion over those things. And then he says, I've given you dominion over all the earth. I've given you dominion even over the creeping things. What did he mean by that? Because there are things that have gone away from our lives, but they began to creep back up again. God didn't leave anything back. They didn't leave anything out. He says, I've given you dominion over the things that wants to creep back into your life. We once resisted against things that were not right, and now we become compromisers of those things. And the Bible tells me I've given you dominion over those things that are trying to creep back into your life. Are we staying together? It's interesting because, and particularly for the sisters, they're afraid of insects. God forbid if they see a spider crawling up their leg. God forbid if they see a lizard. God forbid if they see these things, they scream and shout, but the devil will creep the same thing back into your life and you don't even have a reaction to it. The same way you could scream and shout and try to get that thing that tried to creep up your leg is the same way you ought to respond to when you start seeing sin start to creep back into the church again. Adam was God of the earth. He was immature God. That's what God made him to be. All creation was subject to him naturally. He led the animals as the Holy Spirit leads the believer. He had the ability to speak to nature, command the trees to move, the storms to calm down. He had that authority. That was his position. To which the prophet says in the message, questions on Genesis, he says, he talks about Adam. He says, now God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. What kind of a man did he create? A spirit man. He says, you'll notice he made all creation and created a spirit man, that God gave dominion over the cattle and the fishes and everything to man. But in his making up there, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believers today. So that was Adam's position. And he goes on to say in Genesis 2, he says, Jehovah, what did it mean? I'm the all-existing one who has created something off of myself to be a son of mine, or a temporary, immature little one of mine. Jehovah means that he gave man to be an immature God. Because he is Father God and he made man an immature God, so he isn't self-existence anymore. He exists with his family. Now God made man to be the predominant over all the earth. He had dominion, and the earth was man's dominion. So I'm building a point here to let you know that God has given you the ability so that way you can have authority over circumstances in your life. Circumstances do not rule you. You rule those circumstances. Things don't happen to you. You speak things into existence. Are we staying together? That should be your mentality, that the moment you wake up, the devils in hell begins to tremble, because they know that whatever you say, that God will back it up. If you wake up and you say, I'm going to have a blessed day, then all the demons have to clear away so that way you can have a blessed day. Whatever you say, God will honor that, because God honors the word of his children. It is, what is your attitude towards God's word? He says that you have dominion over the things of this life. You can say, Brother Gene, I don't know what's going on in my job. You just pray over the circumstances in your job. You say, Brother Gene, I don't know what's happening in my family. You pray over that circumstance. You're an immature God. Speak God's words. Let it be that the moment that you open up your lips, the devil begins to tremble. Can we say praise the Lord? Jesus came across the scene, and I might have shared this before. There was a man that was subject to a bunch of demons. Amen. And so he looks to this man, and he says, you know, he tells his devils, you be cast out from this man. And the devils had one word for Jesus. Says, Jesus, can you just grant us one permission? Can you send us to where those swines are at? And Jesus, the Bible says, forthwith considered the matter, and he allowed him to go to those to go to where the swines were at. And I start to say, well, praise be to God. If my Lord Jesus could take a moment to answer the request of devils, how much more when the sons and daughters of God begin to talk to their maker, begins to talk to their creator, can he listen to your words? If Jesus could take the time to answer, to honor the request of devils, then how much more the sons and daughters of God? You're not just any group of people, but you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about you is royalty. Everything about you is purity. Everything about you is heavenly. Everything about you is divine. You're wonderfully and perfectly made of God. I don't walk around with fear. I'm a son of God. Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We're sons and daughters of God. My circumstances do not frighten me. Amen. The past due notices that I get in the mail does not fear me. The conversation that didn't go well with my boss does not make me afraid. I'm a son of God. If he took care of me yesterday, I'm not worrying about tomorrow. I'm going to walk today knowing that tomorrow is taken care of. I'm a child of a king. If he fed me yesterday, he's going to feed me today. If he put clothes on my back yesterday, then he's going to put clothes on my back today. My God takes care of me. Praise be to him. You're called for a certain reason. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. And he says he's made you an immature God. You speak your position. You speak your blessings. You speak your promises. You speak your victory. Speak your joy. All the promises that he's given unto you. Don't you stay quiet, but you speak those blessings into existence. Amen. Some days I don't feel like a Christian, but it doesn't change the seed that's on the inside. Some days I don't feel like I'm victorious, but it doesn't change the promise that he's given to me. He's called me to be what I am. And the message why he says, remember, when is man saved? When a man is saved, becomes, like he says, becomes eternal life in your heart. That's God. You're able to push out all the roots of bitterness. Then God begins to spread in you. Then you become a son of God. A man was made to be God. To be a God, did you know that? He's in the image of God. He's the son of God. He's like him. He was given a dominion over the whole earth. That's right. He ruled the earth. He ruled the animal kingdom and all the other kingdoms, all but the kingdom of God above. He was God. He was an immature God. He was made in the image of God, made like God, his hands and feet like God. He was in the image of God. The Holy Spirit begins to build his kingdom within you. We're supposed to have dominion over these things in our lives. And the reason why that's so important is because the lesson could be drawn from Samuel. In 1 Samuel 15, God had a task for Saul. And he said, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over the people. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And the Lord said, I remember that which Amalek did unto Israel. And it's just so that way I could bring to your remembrance what Amalek did. When Israel was coming out of Egypt, Amalek couldn't wait to pounce over Israel. And so there was a battle that ensued in Rephidim. And so what happened was Moses had to situate himself and his hands had to be up. And Aaron and Ur on either side had to keep his hands up, and Joshua was in the battle. And so God never knew the burden that it put on Israel. And so God, see, whatever you go through, it doesn't mean that God forgotten. There's a time and purpose for everything. And so they won the battle, but God never forgot what Amalek did. And so now there's this king among them, Saul. And so he tells Samuel to tell Saul, go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. Slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. So he said, kill everything. Ooh-wee. God says, even kill the infants. Man. To the natural eye, you say, what kind of God you worship? A God that doesn't tolerate sin. Because it might be innocent. It may not look like it's destructive. But once that thing begins to get older and you can't control it, it's going to have dominion over your life. That's the reason why he says, kill the very innocent thing that you see, because inside of it is the seed of the serpent. God says, don't spare nothing. We stand together. That's the cutest thing, you see a little baby cub, a little lion. You're just like, oh, look, it's so cute. You look at it, it licks you. It's really tasty because once it gets older, it's going to see how good you taste. But you think it's the cutest little thing you've seen. And so get by 2 months, like, oh, it's getting big. I'm not concerned. It started getting bigger. By the time it's a full-grown animal, it ain't all about the cuteness anymore. That cuteness went out the real quick the moment he had a taste for blood. Oh, we staying together. It's so easy once you kind of put your foot into something when you know you shouldn't. You're like, I got this under control. The moment you feel that you got it, it got you. Let me tell you, I don't got nothing. God got a hold of me. The reason why I'm able to make it through a day without falling to temptation is because God kept me from temptation. Can we say praise the Lord? I mean, just think about it. Goliath must have been a cute looking little baby when it was born. But he was an ugly thing when he came up to David. We stand together? Must have been a cute little baby. Didn't know say a word. People just laughed at it. That's the cutest thing he says. Yeah. Looked at it and it was just innocent. And when it was crawling, look, he's trying to take his first step. But that sin was just growing. And now he's a full-grown man. Muscles and everything. Walking with a big spear, a shield. Man, he's a dangerous man. Are we staying together? So God says, look, when you go and approach the enemy, I want you to destroy everything. Don't leave not one thing behind. And Saul gathered his men by 210,000 of them, and they went to Amalekites. But they saw the Kenites and said, look, man, we're getting ready to have war with the Amalekites if it's within your best interest if you just leave. So they left. And they went and they smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto sure, that is against Egypt. But then he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and kept them alive. But he utterly destroyed everything else. So God says, look, I want you to go and kill everything. Don't compromise, don't talk, just kill everything. And so he left the king behind. Of all things that he could have kept behind, he left the king behind. And Saul and the people spared the king, Agag, and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs. I mean, they're keeping the best. And all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. Did you catch that? So everything that they perceived to be good, they kept. Because it looks good in front of my eyes. Surely God wouldn't contradict my opinion. If God hates it, I hate it. If God doesn't like it, I don't like it. If God loves it, then I want to be bathed in the blessings of it. Are we staying together? They went in there and they started pick and choose what they like and what they didn't like. And God says, get rid of all things. But they started keeping some of the things that they thought, well, surely God didn't mean this. No, he meant that too. When he tells you don't go someplace, he meant you didn't need to go there. When he tells you to dress somewhere, he dressed a certain way, he meant what he said. Oh, my. So they start going in there and not having dominion over those things, and so they started to pick and choose. And so they kept the best of what they perceived and everything else. Like, surely God doesn't like that, too. And the word came to Samuel, and God says, man, Samuel, it repented me that I put Saul to be king, man. Samuel was torn up that night, prayed all night. And then he came early and met Saul in the morning. And it was told to Samuel saying, Saul, come to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place. And Samuel came to Saul. And listen to this. And he says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. He lied. He says, I've done everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I've done everything that the Lord's told me to do. Now, I want you to catch this. He says, so he's not boastful. Not realizing that God had already spoken to Samuel. You can't lie to this word. You can lie to your brother and your sister, but you can't lie to God. Amen. We stay together. When you say you're going to do something and you didn't do it, you might have lied to me and I may not know the difference, but you can't lie to God. Because when all is said and done and your life is being replayed, everybody's going to be sitting there watching something. I thought you said you did this. Look at you right there. That's the reason why I believe that we're living in an age, a lot of things that we didn't know, social media is beginning to put these things out there, is because the natural types of spiritual, a lot of things that were spiritually hidden is now becoming manifest. The spirit you have on you would tell on itself. You could try to hide it as best as you can. You could try to put makeup on it as best as you can. But the fact that it's a wrong spirit, it'll tell on itself. It reveals itself and says, hey, I'm here. You might as well deal with it now before God makes an open public confession out of it. I know it's getting a little uncomfortable, so everybody kind of just, you know, getting comfortable in their seat. It's like, let's see where he's going with this, because I will. It's still the word. Oh, when it sounded good, we say amen. When it hurts, we still got to say amen. Let me tell you, I've been sitting where you're at and the pastor preaching. I know he said some good things. I'm like, praise the Lord. And then he said some other things. I'm like, I got to get that right, too. I got to talk to my wife after church about that. I didn't know if my pastor heard me. Maybe my phone was on. That's right. Got to say amen to it. Oh, man. Praise be to God. So he goes on. And he says, I've done everything. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, now listen to his attitude. He came out bold. He's like, hey, we've done everything the word says. From Genesis to Revelation, all 1,100 books, we said we did everything. There's not one fault in me. And Samuel says, well, what is all this that I see? And then Saul said, well, they, the people. That's the first thing that happens. When someone's walking in the faith, the first thing that Satan does is changes your language, changes your position. Because when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they knew their position. They were used to seeing God. And then God came down in the cool of the evening. Nothing unusual about that. God came down to go see how his son and daughter was doing. Nothing unusual about that. And all of a sudden, he says, Adam, where art thou? Adam was hiding. And finally, when Adam and Eve come to the scene, you know the first words they said? We heard you, but we were afraid. Who taught them fear? Their language changed. You find a Christian who starts who's very passionate and enthused and is motivated by God. This is, are you going to make it to a rapture? Absolutely. Are you a son of God? Absolutely. There's a certain absolute about them. But the moment their faith starts to waver, it says, well, if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits, what are you talking about? Well, the Lord knows all things. What do you mean, wait a minute. My defeat in a battle doesn't change my destiny with God. I just got to pick myself up and keep walking. But the language starts to change. Let me tell you, I still believe that I'm destined to a rapture just as much as I believe it now like I did it the first day that I accepted this message. You said, Brother Gene, are you going in after the rapture? Absolutely. Brother Gene, are you a son of God? Absolutely. Sure, I've had my mistakes. Sure, I've made my fails. But that doesn't change what God feels about me. And I won't let the devil put a thought in my mind. Are we staying together? So he begins to change his language a little bit. And he says, and Saul said, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people, you see, not me, because I'm a little bit different. The people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest, we have utterly destroyed. So the part that they should have done, he puts himself in there. But everything else was everybody else's reasons. That's them. That's the same thing that Adam did. Because he fell out of his position. This is Adam. What happens? Like, well, that's the woman that you gave me. It's her. And the woman didn't know any better. She probably looked at him like, it was the beast. It was the serpent. And God already knew what happened, so he didn't even ask the serpent what happened. He says, because you've done this. Didn't care for his opinion. But we're beyond the stage of passing the buck. We are at the stage of full accountability. We're accountable now. We have a message that's been revealed to us, a word that's been made open to us, a truth that's been made known to us. So we of all people are without excuses or reasoning. Are we staying together? The Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, they can walk around and they're none the wiser, but we have wisdom. We're of the wise virgins. We've been awakened by this message. We now see our position. Are we staying together? And so Saul has this conversation with Samuel. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay and I will tell you what the Lord will, how the Lord will do with you. And he begins to have a conversation and he tells what the Lord says to him. He says, and the short of it is, he says in verse 1, and Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice. And now listen to this, in verse 19 actually. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, the next verse he says, and Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. What an attitude. He's going to argue against this word. You were caught in a lie. You didn't do what God tells you to do. Rather than having a repentant heart, you want to catch an attitude. If you want to receive the promises of God, it's the right attitude. Brother Beth says, Heidi Wright, the reason why she was able to receive her blessing was because she had the right attitude towards God's words. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent to me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekites, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Listen to this. He's saying God lied about me. Yeah, I've done everything. Yeah, I've done this. Yeah, I've done that. What an attitude to have. God doesn't know what he's talking about. He wasn't there, but God was watching it. When God was watching everything that Saul was doing. And even in his boastfulness, when he was trying to make his plea and have brought King Agag of Amalek, God told you to kill everything, and here you are lying on yourself saying you brought back the king. Then what's the king doing here? You got so engrossed with your argument thinking that you're right and that the word is wrong, when in reality you're wrong and the word is right. That in the spur of that argument, he incriminates himself. And not only that, but I even brought the king to show you proof that I killed everything. The king should have been dead. That's the reason why the Bible says, let every man be a lie and God be true. Are we staying together? We're not above this word. We're supposed to have dominion over the things that he's given unto us. For the people, he goes on to say in verse 21, took of the spoils. He's still blaming the people. Take responsibility. Say, Lord, I have sinned. I have done wrong. Don't let someone else's attitude dictate how you respond. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't Don't look to that person next to you. Encourage them. Pray for them. But you got to, you're on a journey. You're marching. You got to stay focused. You're in a race. You got to keep the pace. The Bible says, walk in the light as he's in the light. Are we staying together? But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. He's blaming the people to sacrifice unto God. And now he's trying to spin it. It's like, well, the people did this, but the reason why the people did it is so that way they could sacrifice to God. That was not even what was spoken in the word. It was very simple. The message is not complicated. People want to make it complicated. Nah, it was very simple. Go and kill everything. Apply the token in their life. That's not complicated. Shun every appearance of evil. That's not complicated. Walk that Christian walk. That's not that complicated. Don't come up with excuses for your willingness to obey the word. Are we staying together? I don't blame the message for what I can or cannot do. It's like, I can't do this because the message won't let me. I would like to do this, but you know, the message is against the message. No, don't blame the message because of that. I don't do certain things because I don't want to. The love of God in me far outweighs the things that the devil's trying to tempt me with. And the short of this, and in verse 32, then Samuel, the prophet, says, bring me the king. And the king, now listen to this, because now the king knows that when he was dealing with Saul, he's like, oh, he has a weak heart. He tolerates sin. But not so with a prophet. So the king came up to him very delicately, just tiptoeing. Say, surely, the bitterness of death. That was just yesterday. That was the past. You don't need to get upset about this anymore. You can't change the ways of a prophet. He's a word prophet. And in his mind, he's thinking, Saul should have dealt with you first and then dealt with the people. So as bloody as this may sound, he chopped him up, hewn him into pieces, the Bible says. And people saw this. He's like, bring me the king. Come here. Whips out a sword, which is the word of God. And he preached a sermon and cut the devil in pieces. You got to preach that word. Remind when you're going through the week and things get difficult, you just rehearse a scripture and you chop the devil in pieces. You take that position. Now here's the caveat, because Saul didn't deal with the sin, David had to deal with it. Other generations had to deal with it. Are we staying together? You say, what way did David have to deal with it? In Psalm 130, the Bible, real quickly, in Psalm 130, the Bible talks about how the Amalekites came and took the children, David's family, away and carried them away. And it caused strife within the camp. They were getting ready, they were getting ready to throw stones at David. And so David had to consult with God, and the short of it is he went over and he got his family back, but he had to deal with that. He otherwise wouldn't have to if Saul had dealt with it. Parents, we have to deal with our sins, or your children will have to deal with it. If you're casual about God's words, your children will be casual about God's words. But if you take a position, though they waver off of it, but because you've instilled with them that word, they have to come back to that word of truth. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. We staying together. I don't know if I took 30 minutes or 45. We're talking about dominion. So Christ came to demonstrate our rightful position. It was prophecy for Christ to come and have dominion. The Bible says in Numbers 24, he says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A sepulcher shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy the children of Seth. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. dominion. So speaking of Christ, Adam had dominion and he lost it all. So Christ come to restore what Adam lost. So everyone that was born in sin, everyone that was born was subsequent born to sin, subject to defeat, born under bulls and goats and the blood of those animals. So the second Adam had to come back to restore what the first Adam lost. So that way, anyone that's born again can remember the position they came from. So that's the reason why when Christ came, he says, look, I have the ability to have dominion over nature. So he was able to curse the fig tree. He was able to calm the storm. Why? He was saying, this is what a son and daughter should be doing. This is what the second Adam did. Then he begins to cast out devils. All demons were subject to him. Everything became, so the spiritual aspect of it, he now had dominion over. And so Jesus had been elevated above and have dominion over all things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Do a little bit of reading. Is this still all right? Ephesians chapter 1. Would help if I could get there myself too, right? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, Lord, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So he's telling us that he has power, he has principalities above all these things, might and dominion. And in verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he says he's risen up. And he says he's put all things under his feet. So what does that mean? So whenever he steps, he has authority. Wherever he goes, he commands authority. And he says the same power that was invested in Christ is now in the body of Jesus Christ. He says the moment you get up and you take a step, you have victory over that step. You have authority over that step. You've defeated the devil in that step. Let me tell you, the moment you step into a place, that is the most blessed place there is. Because where you go, there's a blessing that comes with that. To take a step in a direction. The Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. Now, if I could drop this for you, because it's total redemption. It's total victory. In Revelation chapter 10, the Bible says there was an angel that stood, and he had a book open. And in the book, it's the Lamb's book. My name was in that book. Are we staying together? My name was in that book. And the Bible says he put one foot where? On the sea. And the other foot where? On land. What was it? He was making his claims. He had total dominion. He was redeeming the earth. That same Christ, which represents the Word, is making its claims in this vessel. Making a claim in your life that you have the authority. And in Romans 6, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Up to Adam, men died. They rose, they died. They rose, they died. And you thought at one point that death had its dominion, to which the Bible says that death is an enemy itself. But Christ being raised from the dead, the Bible says death has no more dominion over him. If that's the case, death has no more dominion over you and I. That's the way when someone goes by the way of the grave, it may pain our hearts. It may cause us grief. It may cause us to tear up. But we know, unlike the people of the world, we know that there's a greater hope that one of these days a word will be spoken. Lazarus, come forth. And it's more than just men that spoke that word. And the graves begin to give its dead back again. And the saints that went by the way of the grave, and though they're resting in a place in that sixth dimension where they have rest, they'll be able to rise up again because that word was spoken to them. Just like it was naturally, it had to happen spiritually. We who were dead in sin, drinking your beer, running with the wrong crowd, you had no idea you'd be sitting here this morning. You had no idea that you'd accept this word. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. When people didn't think it was possible that you would be the one that would accept this word, Christ says, I already made my decision. When people thought that you, when you were running with the wrong crowd, that your life would be cut short, they didn't know that you'd be sitting here this morning. When people thought that, you know, hey, you know, he got a foul mouth, there's no way that God will clean it, they didn't know what God had in store for you. That's the reason why I don't rest my salvation upon the opinions of men, but my salvation is rested upon what God had already said about me. My destiny is not dictated, it's not predicated upon what someone says, but my destiny is predicated what's written in this word. People might see you struggling on this side of glory, but God already sees you crossing the finishing line. They may not know how you're going to be able to make it, but God sees you rejoicing in heaven already. But I just get up every morning and I purpose in myself, Lord, how can I walk closer to you? How can I live a little bit closer to you? As we're winding down, the Bible says in Psalm, in Romans 6, 12, verse 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin will not have dominion over you. Don't let sin have dominion over you. You speak the word. You take a position. You control your circumstances. Brother Bram says you could create another world and go live in it. When the song leader, he comes here and he begins to sing a song. I was telling the song leaders back home this. When it's a ministry, when they begin to lead songs, they're creating an atmosphere. And think about it. It's such a hard position to be in, because as a song leader, especially midweek service, I see it all the time. You know, people it's going through the week. It's probably been a tough week. Deadlines to meet, you know, school situations, all these commitments, and then you rush into work because you got to deal with, you know, rush hour traffic, and you get all disorganized, and you come here, and then you try and get the kids all orderly, and you try and calm yourself down, and the song leader has to come and sing over those spirits. And you come and you're trying to settle down and you're trying to find the mind of God, and you're looking at the song leader, you say, you better sing me happy. It's not only the song leader's job, it's your responsibility to come to church with the right attitude. To say, Lord, I'm going to break through that barrier and I want to receive a blessing. And that song leader has to come with the mind frame. It has to clear himself of all the distractions. It has to sing this song that could elevate the people. Because why? The pastor's getting ready. He's getting that sermon ready. He's getting that word ready. Why? So the song leader now has to create the atmosphere. That's the first war that begins. He has to war off those spirits that came into church and make them feel uncomfortable. That's the reason why when I go to church, sometimes I don't feel like worshiping, but it's not how I feel. It's the blessings that I want to receive. I don't want to let the song leader just be in it by himself. I want to help him fight the battle. So when he said, let's start singing, I start stomping my feet. I start clapping my hand. I may not feel like it, but I lift up my voice. We're in a battle, and I don't want him by himself. I'm going to sing the songs of Jehovah. I'm going to sing the praises unto the King. You may not feel like you want to worship, but you want to give God your best. Don't let the devil hold you down. Look, when I go to work, I don't feel like working, but if I need a paycheck, I put my best. And so if that's my attitude at work, how much more my attitude when I come to the house of God? If I'm striving for eternal life, I may not feel like worshiping, but I'm going to come. I'm going to clap my hands, and I'm going to pour out my best unto God. I'm not going to let sin reign over my lust. I'm not going to let sin reign over my flesh. That atmosphere is so rich. That atmosphere is so well created. People are bathing in the songs, the ministry, the special songs, the special requests. Man, they're so excited. Their heart is throbbing. They can't wait for that minister to come out. No sooner than when he opens up the first page of the Bible, we're just bathed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, Pastor, that is exactly what I've been expecting. I've seen some very successful meetings, midweek service, when people just come with the right mind frame. It's like I was telling this church, you know, we got to come with that attitude to worship God. I told my story. Y'all probably heard it before. Somebody shared it with me. I thought it was kind of funny. A husband and wife, right before church, they got into an argument. They were going back and forth, arguing, making their way to church. The husband, they both get to church. And then the husband just singing, worshiping, just clapping his hands, just having a grand old time. My wife sat there and just looked at him. Just looked at him. And he's saying amen. He's having a good old time. And after church, she looked at him and said, you hypocrite. You know that we got into an argument and you're out here worshiping God and saying amen, saying hallelujah. And he looks at her and say, babe, let me tell you something. I was upset with you, but not with God. Amen. When I come to church, I want to remove all sorts of distractions. And I say, God, I'm going to give you my undivided attention. Amen. Give God your undivided attention. Just worship him. In closing, Psalm 19 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The Bible says in Psalm 119:133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. And the final scripture that I read from Hebrews, the Bible says this. You love the Lord? In Hebrews 2, verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man? Now he's quoting Psalms. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor. So we just read this in Psalms. And did set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things are put under him. So death was being the last thing that was going to be put underneath him. And then in verse 9, so he types it, he says, but we see Jesus. Taking that same scripture from Psalm. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. So he's taking that scripture and says, what does that mean? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death of every man, for every man. For it becometh him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. As a result of that, he's brought many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all one. So he that sanctified Christ and them that are sanctified, you and I, are one. So he has victory over death, you have victory over death. He has victory over his circumstances, you have victory over your circumstances. The Bible speaks directly to you. In Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea, the Bible says, to him that overcometh, I've given a throne to sit on a throne. What is a throne? It's a domain. Are we sitting together? He says, I've given you a throne. I've given you a domain. And so he goes on to say, that the Bible goes on to say, we're kings and we're priests. So as a king, we need a throne. So he's looking at you. He says, look, you guys are royalty. You're going to sit on the throne. You will have dominion. But while that's going to be realized, you're exercising it now. Exercise your dominion. When you walk out of here, you got to know that I'm a son of God. Whatever terror that Satan sends my way, I have dominion over that terror. Whatever bad news, I have dominion over that. Whatever circumstances, my life is not pity. My life is not filled with sadness. My life is filled with encouragement. It's filled with joy. Oh, I got things that I have to contend with, but as long as there's a tomorrow, as long as there's a God that's there tomorrow, a God that lives today, I can face tomorrow. And the Bible says, according to Ecclesiastes, where the word of a king is, there is power. And he says, you're a king. Wherever there's the word of a king is, there is power. But we stay together. And the devils know this. And y'all know the story where, you know, Paul was casting out demons. He didn't hesitate. Peter, John, casting out demons. They didn't hesitate. But two guys decided to do the same thing. They went up to a person's house that was filled with devils. And they said, well, you know what? If it was good for Paul, if it was good for the rest of them, then it might as well work for us too. They went there thinking they knew something. And they looked at that demon and they tried to cast that demon out. That demon just didn't even flinch. Says, pull out his sheet. Paul, John, Peter. What are your names? And they probably mentioned the name, and I'm afraid to mention the name as an example in case somebody's name might. But they mentioned the name, and that email just looked down and says, don't see you on here. Are you sure you're part of him? By that time, they started quivering. It's like, yeah, we're sure. How long have you been a part of him? They couldn't find, those demons were looking too because they knew something was fixing to happen. And they were nervous. How long have you been a part of him? They probably sitting there just shaking. It's like, well, we've been a part of him maybe a couple of months. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you accepted his blood, you said. And you're going to come cast us out from here. Uh-huh. And do you know Paul? We've never talked to Paul. Okay. Have you been baptized? What is that? You don't know what baptism is? No, we just thought we would exercise his name. You haven't been baptized. Have you received the Holy Spirit? What is that? Man, y'all, you don't know what the Holy Spirit is? No, we've heard of it. Okay, let me tell you what we're getting ready to do. Let me tell you what we're getting ready to do. Those demons beat those guys so bad. The Bible says they ran out the house naked, bruised, beaten. You got to know where you stand. You got to know whose side you're on. You got to know when you're facing the devil that God stands with you and that you're not evoking the name of the Lord in vain. I know that I'm a son of God. When I call upon his name, my voice don't quiver. My voice don't sound fearful. I know he stands with me and I stand with him. That when I call upon the name of Jehovah, all the heavens begin to rally behind me. Praise be to God. Let's all stand to our feet. You got to know that you know that you know that you're the son of God. That you know that you know that you're the daughter of God. Don't you wake up with doubts. Don't you wake up with suspicion. Don't you wake up being skeptical. You may wake up and you might not feel like you did today, but you're going to say, Lord, I thank God that you've called me for this. Lord, I thank God that you've allowed me to be born into this, that my eyes could see this, that I am what I am by your grace. And sometimes it's not a matter of reminding God what he made the decision about you. It's letting the devil know the decision that God made about you. You love him? Let's bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, just such a thought that I really struggled with, not knowing how I bring it out to God. But I thank you for your blessing. Just allow me to yield to the Holy Spirit that I could bring something out, the Lord, that could be a blessing to your people. Father, I pray that you would continue to allow us to be encouraged in your word. We now know that we have dominion over these things that try to influence our life. Father, may you watch over us. May you continue to be with us. The Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. Father, believing that, dear Lord, I know that tomorrow is already taken care of. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. We commit our lives, the lives of our family, this church into your hands. Be with Brother Jack and his family, dear Lord. Just be with everyone. We commit everything into your hands. In Christ's name we pray. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Soldier, I'm going to turn it back over to you. God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah, that's yours. Praise. Amen. I feel encouraged. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I don't care if the devil knows who I am. It's good that we know who we are, but the devil knows who we are also. Amen. We have dominion. Amen. When God first gave dominion to man over the earth, he took his hands off of it, and he gave it to us. We got to exercise it. First thing Satan wants us to do is fear. Fear our own position. Why fear? We have his word. Let's move forward. Amen. Let's sing this little song together. What is it? How great is our God? I think that's it. How great.
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And now we see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above all names. Amen.
Name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. And my heart. How great is our God.
Let's sing it again. Name above all names.
Oh, name above all names. And you're worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. So how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
One more time, name above all names.
Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all. My heart will sing how great is our God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Gene. Thank you for coming. How many is going to be praying for Brother Gene? Amen. Amen. We love you, brother. The devil's mad at you, but we love you. You bring a message like that, no doubt, hell is turned over. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we go, let's pray first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us this morning. Truly, Father God, we are kings and priests because you made us so by your blood. Father, we are headed to the throne, Lord, the place where Satan wanted to go. No doubt he's mad at your people. And the prophet of God said that every gun in hell is aimed at your little bride. We're going to the place, Lord, where Satan wanted to go. He wanted to have dominion. Father God, but he's just a bluff. He's a squatter on our property, Lord. This earth belongs to your people, Lord. You created heaven for you, but you created this earth for your people.
Father, someday we're going to come back. We're going to rule and reign over this place. But Father God, as we're on this earth now, Lord, may we stand in our position, taking hold of your word. You said, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Father, we have your word. We know what to do with it. Now may we march forward with marching orders. We love you, Father. We ask that as we go our separate ways, Lord, that you'll be with your children. Keep and protect each one. Place a hedge about them, Lord. And may your children, Lord, take hold and have dominion over each and every circumstance that we may face this day and this week, Lord. We love you, Father. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. You all may have your seats. Amen. This little brief meeting is actually about pastor appreciation. Huh? I'm sorry. Excuse me. My bad. Still.